stop.
Hello, welcome to the Honest One Gaming House, Rob. And I'm joined by Owen, the man Jackson. Hello, Owen, how are you?
You're always on this side, right? So we'd go cheeky high five thing. Yeah. Wow, Para TV and all that.
Smashed it.
I'm good, man. I haven't been lucky enough to play a game of Warhammer this morning, like a certain somebody I know. But I've been reading about Warhammer,
okay,
which
perfect.
Is always fun.
It's normally role reversal. Sunny. You're normally the one playing, I'm normally the one reading.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, and I've got some more playing to be done. I did play three games the other day, which was fun. I'm only a little one-dayer.
Oh, nice.
So Owen Con or whatever. That was fun, but yeah. Good. What day is it? It's Thursday, isn't it, Rob?
Thursday.
So it's not quite the end of the week yet. I was considering drinking a beer, but I'm not a big drinker, and it might go wrong. I got some tea instead.
Basically the same to an English fella. Can I just say hello to everyone in the chat? Dat.com, Big Love, Born Again, Manchild, Pragmatic, Stu Flynn, T-Man Cash. MJ Pegasus is right. That high five was great TV and even better podcasting. Big love to the podcast bros. I hope you're well. Owen, your hair is looking hot fire. We're all really happy for that look.
The old straw man look, I call it. It's pretty good. I've always big hair. Yeah. So
we've got Owen, but Pirate Owen, which is the most exciting part. So today's show is we are going to be looking at the event, the GoldCon, which is this weekend. Which is a Age of Sigmar real-life human event happening in Australia. Now, we're going to be looking at the list and talking about them. Just some quick points. Number one, there's all if you're enjoying what we've said about these lists, you can also go listen to our friends over at the Failed Charge, who also have done a list review show earlier today. So you can go listen to those as well, which is fun, if you guys want to do that. And, of course, thanks everyone on Patreon and who joins the show by subscribing and all that other jazz. You guys are great. That's it. That's all my infomercial stuff, Owen. Quickly, though, because I haven't had a chance to ask you, so this is just... I'm going to go offbeat. How do you feel about the vampires/kangaroos? I haven't asked you yet, and I want to know.
Well, you know me. I'm kind of more interested in coming up with witty puns based around the names. So I was going mad with the Venari Cavalry. That was my first gambit on the naming.
Good.
And then Rumineth. But as regards actually thinking about it, I'm not really a marsupial lover myself. So I'm one of those people that was initially quite excited about Lumineth, and I've got the battle tome, but then I've subsequently sold the smaller models that I've got. So props, I think that the actual sculpting on those are great, and they're probably going to move, what do you reckon, 24-inch move? They move as if they fly, and then they fire, I don't know, mortal wound shots, and they're great. Like, it's cool. I just can't get Jurassic Park out of my head. They just look,
they kind of look like those little, like the little dinos. I've seen a lot of people say that they also look like dinos as well. Like, I hear it, but obviously there's the camels to come. I'm pretty certain, like a whole bunch of other stuff, which has been rumored to be about. So it could be, there's loads, and it's quite nice seeing that kind of animalistic like vibe going down. So it's cool. What about vampires though? Does that tickle your pickle as an OCX player?
Yes. I've been painting actually. Hold on.
Someone's been doing some painting. That's about time.
This classic sculpt. I don't know if you can see that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, just to try and get back into the swing of painting, because I haven't really been painting at all, but I've loved this model. So, I had that knocking about, and I've started painting that ready. And, yeah, she's cool, right? I wasn't too keen on the guy with the orange hair who looks like he's lost his keys. I'm not really into him.
But samurai vamp lady you're into.
Yeah, because, like, you know, she's put the sword on her shoulder and then she's fucking, you know, whatever, 80s rock style, rock the hair back and it's all flowing. She's got some armor, but she's very feminine with the bustier thing. And, yeah, she's got a very elegant swords or cutlasses. But, yeah, no parrots or peg legs or fancy dress costume.
Which we're all about.
The
thing that I saw discussed, which I think is pretty accurate, is number one, I'm happy that it's not a pirate theme. Number two, really excitedly, I think what's fun is that we're going to see Someone I saw a tweet which I thought was really accurate, which was maybe they're just showing us, because that was only the Warcry Warband vampire, so maybe they're showing us like the kind of like mundane vamps, and then they're going to get super weird and creepy, a bit like they did with the Venari, where we ended up seeing like the wardens, and we saw the sentinels, and they looked very like high elf, but like kind of adapted, and then we went off piste, you know, we ended up with the big mountain goat men, you know, Avalonor, the Stoneheart King, and all those. And then it was like, okay. And now we're seeing the Rue Riders. So maybe we're going to see the vamps like start out pretty cash, but get real, real gnarly as it goes on, which I'm quite excited about. But yeah, I'm excited for it anyway. I just wanted to get your vibe. But you're more vampire than Rue.
Definitely. And I loved, if no one's seen it, like the Castlevania Netflix anime series.
So good.
Absolutely loved that. You know, the very slender, gaunt, kind of very angular vampire vibe. I'm into that. So, and these new models seem to reflect that. But I'm also not adverse to the werewolf rumor, you know, having some sort of generic kind of horror stuff, so like a mummies. We haven't had mummies in AOS for a while, or in Warhammer for a while, have we?
Well, no, we have not. Not even any. I mean, Marathi's a yummy mummy, but that's a whole different kettle of fish that she was inside of one time. But yeah, this. You're right. We haven't. But I'm into werewolves. Werewolves would be super sweet. I think it would be also really fun to see that. I think like armored wolves, armored bears, that sort of thing. Like, just give it to me. Give me all of it. And then, of course, if you want to make any of them pirates, make them pirates. Like anything.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, Pimitrols, there's excited to play Warhammer with you at the weekend. Right. So let's go. Let's talk about this GoldCon event. So have you got some information for me about the actual event?
Yeah. So it's being run by Simon Hall, a player of note. He's putting on quite a few tournaments in the Queensland area. So this is in a place called Narang in the Gold Coast, so central eastern Australia, if I'm getting that correct. Yeah, I think that's right. 52 players he's settled on, which is great. So I think he's had a drop and then a couple of last minute signees, so he's had that, but he's hovering around about that 50 person, which is great for a two-day event. So yeah, 5 games, 2,000 points. I know in his last tournament he had some he messed around and had some Anvil of the Apotheosis stuff, but I think for this pack it's just straight up regular 2,000 points. I know they like to play in a realm in Australia. They often set the realm for the tournament, and I have to admit that I haven't got that information. I don't know if it's set in a realm, but it doesn't appear that the list choices have been skewed too much towards like loads of monsters or anything like that. So but yeah, 2-day event this weekend, and you informed me that it's Australia Day, is that right, Rob?
Yeah, Australia Day this weekend, whether or not you do or don't celebrate it. But that's normally, traditionally, this time last year I was already in Australia for CanCon. I think, what day are we on? Thursday. So yeah, me and the boys would have been driving up from Adelaide. Big shout out to everyone in the Hertz locker, love you forever. We'd have been driving up to Adelaide, and the guys who were driving down from, we were driving to Canberra from Adelaide, and the guys who were driving down from north down, they were driving through the fire, which was horrific at that point. But it's not that weather over there, because I spoke to Pask yesterday, who's obviously in Canberra, and he said it's not like that at all there at the moment. So normally this is CanCon weekend, so there's some events going off all over the place this weekend, I think. Which is cool. Everyone trying to celebrate and play a bit of Warhams. A bit of a shame that obviously everyone can't get together. But one day, it'll be back. It'll be back. So, yeah. And then where is it being held? Same place as the last event?
No, he's hired out his own venue. I think it may be like a hotel kind of air-conditioned conference room kind of vibe, which sounds nice and pleasant. I know that he was doing the smaller events in a place called Irresistible Force in Logan, but I think perhaps this one's just that bit bigger. A couple of guys in the chat have said that it's set in the realm of fire. So perhaps that is a throwback to, you know, just 12 months ago. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So he is a narrative bastard after all, isn't he? He's like, you know, it's
not,
it's, it's not on fire, but yeah, it is. We are playing in the realm of fire. So yeah, they're going to get Fireball, and I'm not sure what the command ability is in the realm of fire, but yeah. Anyway, Yeah, so Realm of Fire, 50 players, lots of different stuff. So we've had a little look at the meta, haven't we, Rob?
We have. And there's a shot on the screen which Owen's put together of the meta breakdown, which actually is genuinely very interesting when you break it apart. So there's 22 order factions, which kind of makes sense. Chaos is 16, Death 10, and then Poor Destruction down in 5. Poor Destruction, which is weird because normally in Australia, and I said this to Owen before the show, but I'll say it publicly. You Australians, you got a fucking meta. I've been covering it now for nearly four years. Like, none of you, like, give a shit what anyone else has got to say about army lists at all. I look at all the Nighthawk players for that. You do what you want to do, and you don't let anyone tell you different, which I love forever and always. And so, like, it's one of my favorite kind of, like, events. Australian events are normally one of my favorites to look at because they normally just, there's a whole bunch of players that will just do whatever they want. And I think that's always really fun. So, like, some of it, you can, there's a good indication about, like, meta lists and, like, stuff that will perform really well. And also, Owen, a little side note, just a conversation question I wanted to ask you. Looking at lists for this, we talked about a couple of lists, and it's like, oh, these look like lists where there's someone's collection that they've just brought, as an example. You obviously don't have to do that on TTS. So TTS is a lot more free for people to build those meta lists and design them. They don't have to build them, they don't have to paint them, they don't have to buy them. I actually always think that the building and painting is more of an issue than the buying. I think everyone's got the meta list in a box, but no one's got it on the table. Did you see the difference in that? Like, it felt more like, okay, this is probably what this guy has as a collection, as opposed to versus a TTS event. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get that point. I think maybe it's meant that there's less of that spam. People are perhaps, you know, having to fill out the last 500 points of their lists with stuff that they've got. But at the same time, everything is quite well honed. I mean, if people, there's only three Seraphon Fangs of Sotek lists, but there are still 350 skinks split over the three lists. So there's been no problem with those boys and girls getting them on the table. So I think if you're motivated to get it and you want to do it, then yeah, I don't think there's a huge difference. I mean, looking at the, you know, the Deepkin lists they've brought in, you know, the Eidolon, I suppose those weren't huge changes, were they? You know, say, you know, from pre Broken Realms Marathi, then, you know, all they're bringing in perhaps is a shark and a Leviathan, and then mixing up the weapon choices on the eels. Yeah, people had Marathi. There's not really a huge amount of 20 Stalkers. You might not have seen 20 Stalkers before, and that's obviously been brought onto the table. But yeah, I think maybe you're right. There's some which aren't completely optimized because they don't have the models or they haven't built and painted everything yet. But that there's still some really good top tier lists mixed in with some fun stuff. It's a really interesting collection of armies, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. So 22 order, 16 chaos, 10 death, and 5 destruction. And lots to really unpack it about that. The top armies, as you can see, thanks to Owen here, 5 Seraphon armies, 4 Stormcast armies, which is, I was like, okay, 4 Shootcast armies. I went through the list, I was like, no, not at all. 4 Maggotkin of Nurgle armies, which is hilarious. I don't know if there's been like a sale on Blight Kings, or like, you know, someone's like designing that, like someone's got like some knockoff Blight Kings going in Australia, or I'm not sure what it is, but nothing but Blight Kings. Like, I don't wonder if there's more wounds in Blight Kings than there are skinks in the game, skinks at this event. I think there might be.
Oh god, hold on, I can probably do the math for you now. So it's 90, it's 135 times 4, which is 540 wounds. Yes, so there are more Blight King wounds than skink models in this tournament. I think that should be the metric by which we measure all tournaments, is yeah, how many wounds of kings have we got on the board, how many fatties.
there's a lot. Yeah. There's a little Legion of Asgore in there. I'm so happy to see that. I read through the list, I was like, yeah, I get you, bro, I hear where you're at. Like, love the list, that was fun. Beast of Chaos. And so I just thought we'd go through the factions quick. So we're gonna just fly through the factions a little bit, And talk about the kind of lists in not like in any detail, just kind of roughly, and then we're going to talk about our top lists, right? That's the idea.
Yes. Yeah? Yes.
Should we start top first? So obviously destruction is kind of what I'm thinking. So the destruction breakdown is: there's one Sons of Behemoth list, there's an Ogre Moor Tribes list, a Big Whip list, and there's two Iron Jaws lists in here. So the Sons of Behemoth list is a Taker tribe. It's got two Megas in it, so two Mega Gargants. And then the Ogre Moor Tribes list is one of my heart list. It's maybe my favorite list actually here, which is triple Tyrant Guard Battalion with three Tyrants, eight Iron Guts, and 2x4 Iron Guts in that list, and it's all in Blood Gullet. That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I mean that's more TTS than a TTS list, isn't it, Rob? Triple Gut Guard. Jesus Christ.
Triple Tyrant Gut Guard is the most TTS list I've ever heard. But it's, I read it and I was like, is this even real? But I love that list. Do I think it's going to do brilliant? Not sure, but I think it's great. What did you think about it?
Yeah, I think that obviously I would need to dig into more about what the Gut Guard does, but I believe it just gives the Tyrants the ability to pass wounds off onto the Iron Guts. But thinking about the sort of list that Stuart McCowan was running, you saw those sorts of lists developed, and he was putting in sort of gluttons or 20s of Noblars just because he found that when he was pushing into the objectives, then he didn't have anything to leave behind. Yes. Which is a pain when you've got so many teleporting armies and fast armies in the game. So I think that that may struggle the triple Gut Guard, but I just love how balls out it is, right? It's just three drops. It's just a lad and his guy. It's a tyrant and his boys times three. Boom, yeah. Boom, boom.
Yeah, it's fearless. It's a fearless list. But what the interesting part is, normally in Australia, there is loads of Ogre armies. Actually, if we cycle back a year, we go to CanCon. Ogre Moor Tribes was the most represented army at CanCon 2020. So it's weird that we're not seeing more Ogres. I know that there are loads of Ogre armies there. Maybe it's the players that they don't have them. I'm not sure. But like, it's interesting not seeing that there. And that kind of surprised me, to be honest. Mm. And then the Uruk War Clans list, or all Iron Fist lists. I've got three lists here, but it says there's only two, so maybe we had a drop. But there was a 2x6 Pigs list. There was two Crusher lists, which I thought was super cool in Bloodtooths. I really like that. There was a 10 Brute Sick Pig list in Big War. But all running Iron Fist, right? With different sub-factions. So you've got Big War, Iron Jaws, and Bloodtooths. Did you have any thoughts about, like, is this very common, do you think? Always seeing Iron Fists?
Yeah, I think Iron Fist is the go-to, right? It wraps up a lot of the stuff that you naturally want to take anyway. And I believe, is that the one where you get to choose like a hero model from one of the units and he gets the Mighty Destroyers? Is that the Iron Fist?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's... Yeah, it's just a really... when you get those battalions, because obviously I know you've had a lot of conversations about battalions recently, when you get a battalion which is like, okay, the ability is really good, I want to take these units anyway, and it lowers my drops, it's kind of like a no-brainer. So I think seeing that Iron Fist is pretty standard. But yeah, I probably like the more Crusher and the two sixes of Pigs over the double Crusher, just because I think you've just got more threats on the board then.
I do like double Crusher though for the smash. If you get the right matchup, the smash the screen with the impact hits is pretty fun because you get the double, mm-hmm. right? And then you can then potentially either charge again or you just got the pile in past the screen, which I think is a fun little like mechanic if you get the opportunity to do it. But yeah, I liked it. But weird, like, so no Gits, not as many Ogres, only one Sons of Behemoth. To be fair, they've not been out that long for them to get painted up like super nice. And I know everyone who's buying them is doing... I've seen nothing but glorious paint jobs. I haven't seen a single like scuffed Rob Symes paint job on them. I've only seen quality paint jobs on those guys. A big shout out to Ash, who obviously has blown us all away with his paint job. But yeah, like Destruction, not in the best place competitively at the minute, I guess, which is something I've said for 4 years. Mm.
Maybe with the Moor Tribes book, maybe just the Australian community are just ogre that book.
Yeah, maybe.
Come on, Rob.
Maybe they're just hungry for something new. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows?
I'm sorry, I'm done.
It's okay.
I'm gonna mic drop now. Just fuck off. That's it. I'm
That's
done.
it. That's all you need. That's all you need. right. So that's the Sons of Mehemet. No, sorry. That's the destruction stuff. Moving on to death. There are 10 death armies. And the breakdown for those guys is 3 Flesh Eater Courts, 3 Bone Reapers, and I can't believe I'm saying this, 4 Nighthaunt armies. Did you have any thoughts about this?
Yeah, it's just all the More Tribes players. They've just gone, oh, is it More Tribes or is it Nighthaunt this weekend? yeah, ghosties! Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that that kind of not wanting to take the top filth, that sort of feeling, maybe they channeled themselves into Nighthaunt, perhaps.
Although one of the things I will say about the Nighthaunt breakdown is actually 3 of the 4 lists had Chain Guard Battalion in, which I find quite interesting. Yeah, where you're able to get an extra, I think it's an extra 3 on top of the D6 that you get back when you try and cast a spell to put units back in, so you get that extra 3. And then they kind of broke down because there was a Chain Guard and a Dolores Guard list in the same list. And the Dolores Guard get the extra attacks on the Hex Wraiths, and there's a 15 and a 5 in there. And I thought that was quite cool. But the one that really stood out to me, I don't know about you, but was the 9 Spirit Host list. Again, there was a Chain Guard, but it had the artifact where you could return D3 slain models. So obviously, like, you could just return D3 Spirit Hosts a go. And I thought that was pretty brilliant. And I think there was a black coach in there as well. And the black coach has got the ability to return D3 units as well.
Yeah. And so Alinda, I think Alinda does one. And also it had Arkhan the Black in there as well. I think that you're right, though. The 9 Spirit Hosts is such an anvil. Like, they can just take the charge, obviously, with the ethereal, and then top themselves back up again. And then I think he had like 20, 10, 10 of the little chain rasps. It looked really solid, that. I'm not sure. I like Arkhan because he's got 16-inch move and he can spam out arcane bolts. And so he's had some, the player's got some mortal wound output in there as well. I think it's got a nice balance. It's got some output there. It's good to see, right? I think people are playing Nighthaunt. I know Matt Tyrell in Australia loves his Nighthaunt. And I think if people are paying for a lot of Rend, then you're just like, sweet, well, you've wasted all your, you know, points on all this delicious Rend, and I ignore it. It's cool. I have to admit, Rob, I don't know the book very well. I'm not going to bollock on.
Well, I think one of the key parts in there is the chain rasps. Like, like being said in the chat, Mortal Realm magazine is out over there now. So everyone's got hundreds of chain rasps for very cheap, very much cheaper than they were. But also, like, they're 280 points for 40 5-up ethereal save bodies, which is wild, with quite a lot of attacks. Their battle line, you can heal into them. If they get the charge off, you can buff at the attacks, you can buff their movement. Like, they just don't have, unfortunately for, like, a lot of the new battle tomes, like, Nighthaunt don't have, like, they're missing 2 sets of rules. They're effectively missing an allegiance ability. They've just got a rubbish one that's it's fun when it happens, and they're missing sub-factions, so, which is huge, right? Like, the sub-factions that you get for some of the most recent books add so much to your army. So they're missing, like, 2 layers of buffs, but I'm very excited to see how the Nighthaunt players do, actually, because it was quite interesting when you were watching local metas as well. Like, when I was over in Australia last year, CanCon 2019, everyone wouldn't shut up about Khorne and how good Khorne was. And I came over from England and I was just like, well, Khorne sucks. What are you talking about? They're like, nah, Khorne. I was like, fucking, what are you guys on about? And then Khorne won the event. Like, 220 people took the event out at six games. So there's loads there.
So Khorne are brilliant, yeah? Khorne are the best. That's what
not
we're
what
saying.
I'm saying. What I'm saying is when you got a local meta...
That's what I got from that whole anecdote, Rob, that you thought Khorne was shit, and then the Aussies showed you that you're wrong. You come on the internet every day and talk about Warhammer, but you just don't get it. Khorne,
it's true,
the best.
It's true. The Aussies do show me. That's why I always look at their events, because they know what they're on about, generally. Or they're mental.
Sorry.
It's 3 years later, I still can't decide. Do you know what you're on about, or are you mental? Maybe little column A, little column B.
Yeah, I think that's... Yeah.
Nighthaunt list. What did you make of the OBR lists?
Ooh, well, one of them I'm going to talk about in a bit. But yeah, the OBR lists, They were, you know, there's two Mortis Praetorian lists in there with Catacross. One is Catacross and like six Stalkers and more of a sort of collection of models. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is a little bit more of your cookie cutter, what you're seeing in a lot of the Butcher's Tribe lists, the team tournament that's going on at the moment. So Catacross, double crawler, some skeletons, a unit of death, riders in Mortis Praetorian. So everything's getting the plus one save and plus one to hit. But yeah, there is quite a unique, well, I wouldn't say unique, but a very different Ossiarchs list, which is one of my picks. So we'll go into that in a bit.
Okay.
And then, yeah, Flesh Eaters, Rob. Did you have a little look at the Flesh Eaters?
I did. There was a Smashbat in there. I don't know if you saw that. You're excited about that, so that was fun. There was also a Gristlegore list with four Terrorgeists. Speckles, if you're in the chat, four Terrorgeists rocking up. But it was only one mounted, and the other three were the Battleline Terrorgeists. But that's all in Gristlegore. And then I really liked the Blisterkin Raw Mordants list. I thought that was super fun. Which was the other list that was in there as well. So I dug on those. Did you see those? Or
yeah, I think there's been a lot of people talking. Like you had Chris Welfer chatting, playing a game earlier, didn't you? And he's been playing the what he calls the Nuclear Vargulf, but what we in the UK call the Smashbat. He's been, you know, getting really good results with that list. So I'm not, and the core of that is Royal Mordants. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised to see that. I mean, a fast flying army with a hero phase move that isn't dependent on CP or anything. I think, yeah, the blister skin one, I mean, God, with plus two movement on everything as well. And then, you know, you haven't got the run and charge CP that you can spend in Hollowmourne. But yeah, no, they're good. Flesh Eater Courts, now that they're not that obnoxious thing that they were when they first came out, I think they're a great, like, just under the radar pick. You can have a lot of fun playing Flesh Eater Courts, definitely.
I think you can have a lot of fun playing Flesh Eater Courts. I love their own spells. Chalice is obviously like such an auto include for its like effectiveness, but I think like the Stampede is super good. I think that they've got some great own spells. They've got great characters. They've got like a nice mix of stuff. So yeah, I think they're a great army, absolutely. And I agree with you. And also, there's some people playing the Flesh Eater Courts that have been playing them for a while at this event. So yeah, I think that there's lots there, and it's kind of interesting to see the difference really between the destruction and the death, whereas the destruction stuff is a bit like, oh, okay, you know, like the death stuff seems a tad more interesting this way this time around. I don't know why. Anyway, thanks for following us, McFatty 1994. Big love. You're definitely an Ogres player. And love you forever. So the next up is Chaos. So Chaos have got 16 people playing Chaos. There is two Blades of Khorne, two Disciples of Tzeentch, there's the Slaves of Darkness, there's a Magikin and Nurgle, four Magikins and Nurgle, two Beasts of Chaos, two Hedonites, one Skaven Tide, which is interesting, and one Legion of Asgore. Final countdown to nerf.
Did you see what the list archetype was? I put in the notes there for that particular army, Rob.
List archetypes for Legion of Asgore, something from a pamphlet. Wow. Wow! You wait till we get a full battle tone one day. You're gonna be ruining the day that we move 4 inches and shoot. You're not gonna know what to do with yourselves. Rude.
It's actually a really good. It's a good list though, isn't it? You know, Legion of Asgore well, but it is. It's a good version of what you can take.
It's about as good. Yeah. The book, the pamphlet has been out for 3 years, so it's been fairly solved. Like, there isn't really much really to sing home about. 12 Gadai are brilliant. A Torok who's buffed up is great. Fireglaives are great. Demonsmith's got a great spell. They really haven't changed. It's more the game has changed around them over the past 3 years. Still a solid book. Like, obviously, pretty certain it's going to go into Legends, which is a bit of a shame. But yeah, like, it's nice seeing them get the run out. Do I think they're going to win? No. Do I think that they're brilliant? Yes. Which is true. Which of the Chaos ones stood out to you the most? Do you want to yammer about?
I could yammer about any of them, you know me. So yeah, I think it's nice to see, and you'll not agree. I won't say it while you're drinking because you might spit it out all over the screen. But I think that the Baleful Lords list is probably about as good as you can get with Baleful Lords.
Five Bloodthirsters.
Five Bloodthirsters, baby. Yeah, and I actually like it because it's five. I'll talk about it in a bit. Actually, it's one of my picks. So it was really nice to see that. There's a Host Arcanum Archeon Tzeentch list.
Played by Blake as well. And if Blake's painted, Blake's an incredible painter. So I'm excited to see that. Yeah, yeah. Like, if that's been painted up super nice. Yeah, that's really good. But with the Chaos Lord on Manticore, which I thought was an interesting choice.
Yeah, I mean, his spell is ridiculous. So if he does come up against the, like, 165 skink list, then, you know, if he needs to, just Destiny Dice that. I think it's called Winds of Chaos or something. And, you know, roll a dice for every model in the unit. Five up does a mortal. Sixes do D3. Like, you know, I love the idea of burning a big unit of, 40 skinks or 30 Mortec Guard with some hot fire. Yeah, I like that. It's low model count, but he's got 10 knights in there and a war shrine, so it's a little bit different. It's not like the ones that you've seen on TTS, but I think that's a really good list. There is a Varangard list in there, Rob. I think that's
I was going to talk about that, actually. Just to quickly just jump back to Khorne before we run off from them. Yeah, there's the Baleful Lords list, but then there's which, by the way, I've got two Rage Thirsters, two Incessant Fury, and then Wrath of Khorne. There's one of those, so that's the kind of combo if you want. But I liked the Blood Lords list, that's right, with the Gorka Pilgrims Battalion. Oh, got you. Thanks for subscribing. Welcome to the team. First time in the... So am I right in thinking that that was a Smash Thirster? So it's a Bloodthirster of Incessant Rage. It's got the Always Strikes First artifact, and it's got a command trait for plus 4-inch move. Is that what I'm seeing? Am I seeing a Smash Thirster? Are we inventing smash things now? Is this what we do? We load up one thing that flies and we fucking launch it and stuff.
I'm going to have the Smash Branch Witch against you next week in that case. She's coming in hot. Two attacks from the side. Fear me. 7-inch
move. I used to run the Smash Demon Smith, which was hilarious. His real job actually was just to fly behind Kadai and make them immune to Battle Shock, but that's a different combo. I like that list anyway, because I was like Smash Thirster, because you used to be able to kit up a Demon Prince of Khorne really well and send him off and do some smashing, but you can't do that anymore.
No, Blood Lords is fine, but if you're going to take demons, you take Reapers of Vengeance, because you get 4-inch move and then you get fight at the start of the hero phase. I think it's called Halo of Blood in Blood Lords. Yeah. And you get reroll ones to wound against like heroes and monsters. But the command ability is just like a tiny bit of healing, and going twice with a Thirster is better than going once and going first. So in my humble opinion. But yeah, there's some Enlightened in a Beasts of Chaos. Yeah, there's a real mix. Like, I think it's a real sort of it shows the real variety that you get in the Chaos faction, that there's, apart from the Nurgle lists, which are all quite similar, based around the Blight Sist and the Blight Kings. I mean, there is one, Rob, that we picked out that was it has a Blight Sist, a Great Unclean One, 6 Plague Drones, and a Keeper of Secrets.
No idea. No idea what's going on there. Like, Keeper of Secrets aura is just on its war scroll, so it's a great ally in. Like, I get it. Like, it makes sense. All the Blight Kings, though, it was just so many Blight Kings. And, you know, like, you can give plus one attack.
There's a lot of those fatties.
Yeah, you can give plus one attack to those Plague Drones, which I think is which is fine, I guess. I mean, they can hold an objective quite well. They're tanky, I guess. Like, and I guess there's something fast to engage early before the Blight Kings get there. So there's something to do. There's something there, but yeah, it's just all Blight Kings. It's just a phenomenal amount of Blight Kings, like, which is kind of interesting in the meta, because there are 4 Blight King lists, and I kind of ask them, like, if they don't bump up against each other, because it's a 50 man event, you know, I think they'll probably do quite well, and then you might start to see like some of the other lists that might have like. They might have snuck through. Blight Kings lists are more of a problem than they are necessarily a solution. Really, you play against them and you think, can I beat this? And the answer is probably, like, maybe, but probably not in some cases. Some armies just don't have that level of output. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really interesting that there are 4, so they're quite dominant in this individual event meta, because they're going to really, like, kind of gatekeep some of the other armies that are going to go, that would normally bunny hop, right? So if there are any mirror matches to knock one of those down, it'd be interesting. Otherwise, I think Blight Kings could potentially take the event out, because they're going to knock everything else out, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's not a huge amount of armies that can grind through all of that sort of plague-ridden meat quick enough, right? They just can't get through it. And when you see Blight Kings played well, it's like, It's all about, like, they're constantly just piling and like you're winning the game through the way in which you pile in and your activations. And then obviously that Harbinger of Decay is sat in there. If people can pick the Harbinger off, that army does fall apart because the Harbinger of Decay is giving them the 5-up DPR. But yeah, there's some nice tech in there. And I actually think that with Blessed Sons, like every time one dies, that's 2-up for a mortal wound. So if you're looking at sort of 45 Blight Kings, if you do chew through, say, 80% of the army, so you chew through, let's say, 35 kings, that's 35 dice, and every 2-up is a mortal wound. So you've got about, like, I don't know what the maths is on that, but maybe 30 mortal wounds coming out of the army, which is not a small amount, especially when it's in combat and you're clearing spaces.
And your contagion points are really based on just the time of the, really, you're like generating contagion points. So like that clutch 10 man plague bearer unit or whatever to secure at the end is still available. So yeah, I think that that's got some real legs. The Beast of Chaos ones, real quick, they both took a battalion. Big fan of the Dark Walkers Brass of Spoilers list. Actually, it was on the stream, I think, at CanCon last year. Lovely fella playing that. And then the other one is a Phantasmagoria of Fate Gav Spawn list as well, which is a lot more maybe a little bit more dynamic. But the Dark Walkers list, I again just to jump back to that, it's got 20 Centigore in it in 4 units of 5, which is quite fun because of the battalion. You can make it so that they normally reroll one. Basically, they can get next to each other. If 2 units can get holy within 12 of each other, they're going to buff each other. So if you wanted, you could have those 2 units of 5 Centigore run along the flanks and then buff each other when they get in, get drunk as hell, and then charge in. Is it going to win loads of stuff? I don't think so. Is it brilliant? Absolutely, 100%. Like, super cool to see. Yeah.
Centigores, yeah. I don't know if I told you, Rob, but I got my Ghoul King on Zombie Dragon one-shotted by 20 Centigore on turn 100 today. Did I tell you that?
No,
fucking Nurgle. In Nurgle, right? And you put Blades of Putrefaction on them. And
they're
then
amazing.
Yeah, so he was doing mortal wounds on fives, and then these he ran and charged because it was Nurgle with the tree, and he just like YOLO'd like 20 into it, and they moved about 30 inches and just blew up. They overkilled my dragon.
They're good. Okay.
They're really good. Yeah, they're good. And I just like the idea of something getting drunk in the hero phase. And,
let's go, lads.
Go.
These lists aren't posted online, I don't think, everyone. So sorry about that. I don't think they're on a TO app. The one that stands out to me, I mean, the Archeon list is in there. There's a Chainchos list from Zeench. You can't not knock Dave Kerr. What a legend with his Slaves to Darkness list. Like, the man knows how to play Warhammer. He's a gentleman, and he's got a really good Plague Touch Warband list in the Knights of the Empty Throne. This is one of my picks for taking the event out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's managed to snuck 6 Flamers in as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. And 3 Chaos Sorcerer Lords, which I think is really clever.
He really wants those rerolls, doesn't he? Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I will reroll everything. I imagine at one point there'll just be a Chaos Sorcerer Lord picking himself and giving himself rerolls and being like, hit me! Just hit me! Which I think is... Because just to let everyone know why that's so important. So the Plague Touch Warband, if you do any sixes to hit against it, then you take a mortal wound. That's how it works.
I think it's sixes to wound, but
sixes
the point
to wound,
stands.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's sixes to wound. Yeah.
Sixes to wound, the point stands. So actually, that's really interesting on a throwaway unit, because if you have, let's say, I don't know, like 5 Marauders, or even a Chaos Sorcerer Lord is a good example, yeah, and you just throw that unit into a unit that's got a wealth of attacks, you'll do more damage from them hitting you than you ever will do in combat, which is really interesting. So normally you see Knights of the Empty Throne list because you've got Varangard and you can give them like a 3-up rerollable save, so they're going to stand around in that fight for a lot longer. But I like the idea of just doing it with like throwaway units as well, and you just launch them at stuff and you just be like, cool, like these are going to die, but you are going to kill yourself as you hit me. I mean it's sixes, so it's not like loads of mortal wounds, but it could be quite a few.
Yeah, I mean, I played with Bone Reapers against it the other day, and yeah, I did more damage to myself. That was his mortal wounds back to me was his most effective output damage in that list. So yeah, it's not Yeah, it's not. Yeah, exactly. As
The
Grail
Grey
Lycan,
Lycan.
the Grey Lycan, Plague Touch hates high rend, high damage. Yeah, exactly. So, Charlie's Bulgors, for example, they're the hard counter, right? Rend 2, damage 3.
Yeah,
That's
apart
what you're
from
saying.
everything else in the list is also much better than the
Okay,
Bulgors as
I'm
well.
just being silly. I'm just being silly.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. It's all about their Bulgors. They're so oily. That's all I can ever think about them. But yeah, that's a big
Fleshy.
one.
Yeah.
And then there was a Skaven, one Skaven list, only one. Bit disappointed about that.
Yeah, I don't know really. I still think Skaven are a solid 4-1 army, and they continue
Agreed.
to be so. I think he's got at least 80 clan rats, 40 plague monks, a couple of big characters, and if I remember correctly, he's got a rattling cannon in there. It's amazing what you can squeeze in. He's got two warp lightning cannons, which are, yeah, they're amazing if you can roll well. So yeah, I don't know. It's just that thing, isn't it, with Skaven in a game where everyone's looking for optimization and efficiency, they're just like, I just need to roll some good dice and I could blow your army up. So they're the sort of renegade pick, aren't they? They're the dice rollers pick, if you know what I
Yeah,
mean.
absolutely. Yeah, super. And then, so that's the Skaven, and it's just mixed. It's just like there's some warp lightning cannons, there's 40 plague monks. There's just a bit of everything, really. There's a screaming bell. Thankwall's in there, just ready to like burn face off. So that's fun. Then the Sinesh boys. They're not messing about. I love both Sinesh lists. I think there's two Sinesh lists, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
One of them is Lurid Haze with Supreme Cyberites. So Supreme Cyberites is the battalion, Lurid Haze is the sub-faction. It's got two Keepers of Secrets, and it's got two Bladebringer Chariots in there. And it's got like a couple of other characters, I can't remember what they are. But that's, I like that a lot. I thought that was cool.
I like those chariots, definitely. And I think that's the kind of list with double keeper. It's that sort of the double keeper cyberites in Invaders. I think you used to see Godseekers quite a bit before, but yeah, that used to be the build, didn't it, for Sinesh before the nerf. Load up on keepers, and they have taken a kick from, like, they can't, you don't get the one with the, running and charging and flying, and they have taken a bit of a kick now. But yeah, I love those chariots, and I love the other list. I think it's Jai, his name is, with the
All
Godseekers.
chariots.
8 chariots and a keeper. Yeah, I mean,
Ooh.
all the impact hits, and I think he's got retreat and charge with the impact hits, and they get extra odes of extra attacks. So it's a pretty, you can, when they put that army on the board, you can see what he wants to do. He wants to locus you, blend things up, and then summon and win in the late game. I
And also
think
five
that
five
his.
of those five of those eight chariots in it's a Godseekers list, I'm pretty certain. Five of those eight chariots are all characters again in the Supreme Cyberites. So again, if they do more, they're doing damage, they're earning themselves depravity points. If they're taking damage, they're taking depravity points. It's pretty much like you can see why that Supreme Cyberites is taken so much, because it's just it keys in with what the whole army's meant to do. Like that's it summoning. It's characters related, so you take loads of characters. But eight chariots, I would love to see that play.
Yeah, it's tricky, and they have to be careful though, because in the current, in with the sorts of armies that get brought, there is a lot of teleport. They haven't got any screens, these kind of armies, or they've got very limited screens, and they expect all their stuff to die. It's just if they can make it die in the right place and take enough stuff with it, and then summon. I've seen a lot of Slaanesh players losing recently where they've got all the depravity and they might have a hero, but then the opponent has occupied so much board space they can't summon into an area which actually affects the game, which is a that's the tough one. But yeah, they're fun ways to play the game, right? Smashy, delicate army with super fast and then some tricks and some summoning. I do like it. Yeah, it's
Yeah,
good.
I think that would be a super fun one to watch. And finally, the most popular boys, Order, boring. it's so the Stormcast Eternal's got four. There are five Seraphon armies. There's two City of Sigmar armies. One's Halaheart, one's Hammerhall. There's two Lumineth Realm Lords. There's two Daughters of Cain. There's two Fire Slayers. There's two Idaneth Deepkin, and there's two Caradhron Overlords. Have you got anything that stands out to you from these first off, Owen?
I mean, the Stormcast lists are pretty bonkers. Not bonkers necessarily, but you expect to see Stormkeep Patrol, or you expect to see the one drop triple battalion sort of shoot cast. But there is a list with four ballistas, but it still couldn't be called shoot cast per se. There's nothing that really leans into that. There's one that I've called the Desolator Bomb. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't remember, but let me have a quick check. I've got all the armies here. He's got loads of characters. This is... it's not Sean. This is great telly, obviously. But yeah, he's got like a massive brick of Desolators, which are the Drakoth riding lads. Yeah, 8 Desolators, 760 points of Desolators with cogs and a comet. So... And then he's just got 3 units of Liberators and a little selection of heroes. He's got a Lord Arcanum on Tauralon. So he's Eddie McMichael is obviously a renegade, right? He's a freedom fighter. He's out there doing his own thing. Doesn't have a care in the world.
Doesn't care what anyone else thinks. He's going to be like, nah, I'm here. And you're like, sweet. I've got no idea what's happening. Yeah, I read that list and I just wrote down notes. Don't laugh at my writing, everyone. But what I wrote down was 4 question marks. That was my note. Yeah.
9 drops, loads of questions.
That's exactly it. I was like, what? I was like, I do not know. I was like, I took a sip of tea and I said, fucking Australia. that was my thought. Do you want one of the ones I liked? I liked the, it's an Anvils of Heldenhammer list with the Sepaternal Cleansing Phalanx battalion. Yeah.
Did you have to Google that as well? Yeah. Yeah. I had to Google that one. Yeah. Yeah.
I had to Google the shit out of it.
this is Jack Solomon's with the that anvil lift. Yeah. What did you like about that? It's pretty mad, isn't it?
I just like the fact that he gives rend. So what that does is when you empower up the Sequiturs, you give them rend, or an additional rend. And I thought I quite like that. I thought that was interesting because if you take the normal cleansing phalanx, you get to reroll to wound. But I quite like the idea. I don't know if they already have Rend 1, but if it takes them up to Rend 2, or if they don't have Rend, giving them Rend, I think, is actually genuinely valuable.
You get Rend 2 on the Grand Staves or whatever, or the Great Maces. So he's got 7, which are Rend 2, Damage 2 in there with the Great Maces, which are the ones you always leave till the end. And then the regular lads are going to be just Rend 1, 1 damage. But still, like...
But then you can buff it so that it's Rend 2 and the other ones are Rend 3.
No. Sorry, that would be with the buff.
Rend 2 is great. Like, I like that. Like, I think I'd take that over the especially with some of the threats that are out there. I'd like to punch through some of those problems. And I like that. I was like, it's cool. And it's at least like, because he obviously had the option to just go for the reroll wounds. He was like, nah, I want the rend. So I like that. The cities list was interesting. There's a Hammerhall list with Star Drake and 15 Sequiturs. I was like, hello. And then there's a Hallahart list with a Frostheart Phoenix, 4 wizards. I just wrote down one of them's obviously a Hurricaneum, and then 60 Phoenix Guard. So I still think that that's a great list. Like 60 Phoenix Guard and a Frostheart Phoenix in Hallahart is just horrific. They're +1 to hit because of the Hurricaneum. They're -1 to wound. They're super survivable. And then they've just got some massive magic dominance. I think that's a great list always.
Yes. Yeah. This is Cam McKean's list. I've been playing and having a shitload of fun with the Frostheart Phoenix in my list, which is called Living City Fun Police, because the Frostheart Phoenix is just an absolute pain. I can see now why people used to run that with Sylvaneth when they were good. Like, fucking hell, they're so good. But yeah, I think that the Frostheart giving the battle shock immunity to the blocks of Phoenix Guard. And then he's got a really good command ability, the Frostheart Phoenix. It's a bubble of reroll wounds, wholly within 12. So if you can get that block of 30 up to meet the Phoenix wherever he's operating, then you've just got this battle shock immune ball of death, which will grind through. And then, yeah, a nice Emerald Life Swarm and an Everblaze Comet thrown in. So he's got some turn one threat with the Everblaze Comet, just to, you know, smasher bunker and then life swarm to bring back all those units, and it's empowered, so d6 Phoenix Guard coming back is like, if you roll the 6, that's 12 wounds back just from your one spell. So it's solid, and I really like the Stormcast Wizards, I must say, Rob. fitting those into cities lists, you know, they've got a 3-up save. They've all got 4 attacks with rend 1, D3 damage, 3s and 3s. So they can fight a bit in the late game when you need to, you know, protect your home objectives. That's really solid. Obviously, we saw Philip doing well with Hammerhall with like 70 Phoenix Guard. This has got more magical dominance than the Hallowheart lists.
I don't know if you lose that. I don't know if you even lose that much moving into Hallowheart from Hammerhall. And then obviously there's the fight twice in the opponent's like territory. I get it, but like that magical dominance I think is quite useful, and you'd be able to punch through some threats with some. And even the Stormish Demek, Chain Lightning coming out of the Hurricaneum, but also just its shooting attack. That's a lot of mortal wounds that you can just like kick out from like one piece. It's hilarious. The Hurricaneum's like, cool, I've got an amazing spell and an amazing mortal wound shooting attack. You're like, okay, what else? You're like, and everyone's plus one to hit. And you're like, you're the most amazing 280 points I could ever spend. Like, you're so good.
And somehow it moves 10 inches. That is some fucking motivated horses right there, isn't it? I mean, because they're like pulling that wagon, of that magical wagon, and like they can go faster, almost as fast as a wild rider with shield, who's just like a little skinny elf on the back of a deer. And they can go almost as fast as that, even though they're pulling a giant magic wagon. I don't get it, Rob.
The answer. Yeah.
What heroes in the Hallowheart list? I will tell you now. He has the list from top to bottom, because it seems like Malky is interested. It's an Anointed on a Frostheart Phoenix. It's a Hurricanum. And then there's a Battle Mage, a Knight Incanter, and an Exorcist, followed by 2 30s of Phoenix Guard, a 10 of Free Guild Guard, Life Swarm, and Everblaze Comet. One little note, which is good on Everblaze Comet, if you put it in Living City lists, is it doesn't count towards your Stormcast. If you put them in an army which has allies, so if you ally in Stormcast, it doesn't count towards the points for the allies, Rob. So effectively, you could get 500 points of allies with the Comet running, and it doesn't count as a unit towards your maximum of like 1 in every 4. So ramble. But yeah, they're fun. I like those cities lists. And only 2, which is a bit of a surprise, isn't it?
It is. I think like the whole kind of mix of stuff is genuinely a surprise. However, moving on to stuff that isn't a surprise, Seraphon. There's a Fangs of Sotek list with no Croak. Then there is a Croak with a Fangs of Sotek list. There is a Thunder Lizard list with double Basilidon. And then there's a Croak list. There's Croak in a Cottle's Claw, which I thought was quite interesting. With a big brick of 40 Saurus Warriors, which I thought was fun. Those two Fangs of Sotek lists, obviously very, very strong. And then the double Basti Thunder Lizard list, more of like a team list generally, but still very, very strong, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just the Allegiance abilities, and there's just no bad options, really, unless you really build it terribly. Actually, that's one. But yeah, basically, Spot Box really, really good. So you can take a few key pieces and then build the rest in the flavor that you want. The chap taking the Fangs of Sotek list with the Slan, like a regular Slan, still brings so much to the party. And it's given him more room to bring in 165 Skinks. But yeah, Fangs is amazing. I think the Cotal's Claw has a triple Carnosaur as well. But those Cotal's Claw lists, when they're spamming the command abilities and you get the command ability on the general where every time he spends a CP, you get it back on a 4-up. So it's like, what does the Seraphon book need? Oh, yeah, we'll just give it better Aether Quartz Brooch. Like, that blows my mind. And that's seen as like a suboptimal pick if you take Cotal's Claw, because it tends to be Carnosaurs, Warriors, and Saurus Knights with loads of attacks which don't have rend, right? There's not much rend.
But they're still ignoring they're still ignoring damage 1.
Yeah. So that big Titanic Boulder Club, baby. Damage one.
But actually, on average, I don't know if you know this, but on average, it actually makes the math smoother if you only give them damage one. That's what you want with Gargants. You think, I really want like really static math output on Gargants, not swingy, hilarious fun. More on that another time.
But no, all the Seraphon lists played well and with reasonable matchups will do very, very well. I think probably my pick, because it's not quite so skewed, is there's a list this would be kind of like the real cookie cutter one. Let me just see if I can find it. It's essentially 80 skinks, and then he's got some salamanders in there. So with the free teleport, you can just, you know, buff and go. You can, and you know, 80 skinks that get to shoot when they're charged, and then with the ability to just backboard or hide stuff and just YOLO it forward all buffed up is super strong. So let me just see if I can find that one just to read it out from top to bottom. Those are the, keep seeing Saurus Warriors everywhere. That's a strange one. That's the one with 165 skinks, which is just a fun sponge. Sorry.
It's true though. He's right. He's not wrong, everyone. It is a fun sponge.
Yeah. Here we go. But this is
like,
the one, right?
They're trying to take out the event, right? Like,
yeah, totally. I'm like, fuck man, like if I had the models, I would take this. Maybe not, but yeah. So yeah, this is the one. This is a chap called Nick Cambridge. This was, I would say, is this is peak Seraphon right here. So it's a Lord Croak with Stellar Tempest, an Astrolith Bearer with the Serpent God Dagger, a Skink Priest with who's Master of the Star Rituals, another Skink Priest, a Skink Star Priest, and another Skink Star Priest. So he's got the redundancy on all the buff pieces there. And then he's got 40 skinks, 5 Saurus Guards, 2x2 Salamander Hunting Packs, Baldwin Vortex, and Bound Geminids, and 1970. So a nice Triumph bid in there as well. So, yeah, I think that's... You wouldn't be surprised to see that go 4-1 or take out the event.
It's one of the top picks for taking the event out. So talking about some stuff that's kind of interesting, DOK, obviously with the Marathi book, there's 2 Daughters of Caenlis, and interestingly, neither of them have gone Hagnar. Both of them are Calibron, which I find quite interesting. One of them's got 30 Marathi Sisters of Slaughter, and the other one has gone for a big brick of 20 Bloodstalkers, and it's got 2 units of 9 Shadowstalkers in there as well. You've been looking at these, like, a Calibron teleporting list, Owen. You got any vibes on this?
Well, this one of the lists is exactly, we talked about it another time. It's Corey Papp with the Calibron, the Mirror Dance Marathi one. So there's a lot, and it's got Laushon in there as well. So he's got a hell of amount of hero phase maneuvering and swapping and trickery, more than I actually, I would love to just take that list apart, because he's basically got the Canine Shadowstalkers for a teleport. He's got Mirror Dance to swap 2 heroes. He's got Laushon. He's got a hero phase. The trick is that he's got 20 stalkers that can hero phase shoot, and then they can shoot in the shooting phase as well.
Yeah.
So you're talking about 80 shots with mortal wounds on 6s. He's got natural, or the Calibron lists in general have natural -1 to hit against shooting, which is great into the meta. And then you've got a CP, you've got a teleport, which is, you know, not incumbent on any resource being spent. Again, that's great. So it plays the missions super well, right?
Yeah, I would put all 20 Bloodstalkers into 1 Skink Star Priest, which is hilarious, as that is like 500 points versus 70, but... Like
pin cushion that little twat. That's what I would do.
Like to pieces. I just killed 2. Hero phase, 1 dead. Shooting phase, 1 dead. And I'd just be like eyeballing Croak. I'd be like, "You're next, son. Yeah, get ready for the beatdown." So yeah, those Calibron lists seems very, very interesting. And like you said, all that teleporting around. I mean, I still think those 30 Sisters of Slaughter are just brilliant, but I think that they don't perform quite as well when not in Hagnar, so I can see that. Alexander Tubb in the chat has said pretty much this Calibron list in Butchers this morning. It's hilarious, and the damage output is huge. So there's some little hot gossip. Thanks, Alexander, for letting us know your feels on that. Then KO, only 2 lists. One's got an Ironclad and 3 Gun Haulers, and then the other one's got 3 Gun Haulers and Gotrek. And as far as I've seen, everyone's taking frigates, no Gun Haulers, so I don't know what's going on. In the KO players, no Ziflin, no Spell in a Bottle.
Yes, well, one of them is Ziflin actually, but then it is, yeah, you're right, there's no, but there's no Spell in a Bottle though, you're right. So I think people are maybe shying away from that big brain play, right? That, you know, I'm going to move forward and put a spell in your face that's really horrible. Again, I think much like Seraphon players might try and move away from Croak or the obvious stuff, then I think that the KO Zilfin hero phase move Vortex is kind of, you know, turn one. It's not much of a, well, it can make quite a negative experience for your opponent. So The KO, I'll talk about it in one of those KO lists is one of my picks, by the way, Rob. So I won't go into it in great detail now, but I do really like they're both a little bit on the surface. They've got all the components that make up a classic KO list. Certainly the Zilfin one, but they are a bit different, which I like. You tend to see the Iron Sky Command Squadron or the Iron Sky Attack Squadron or something. The one that basically allows you to depart after you get, you know, after the frigates move. So you haven't got those. We don't have either of those battalions between those two lists. It's nice to see some different stuff there. And I love the Bubble Boys. Again, I've been playing
loads
with those
of Bubble Boys in that list. Loads.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So the final one. Deepkin. Oh dear, Deepkin. So hard for me to talk about. But it's all eels. And it's either eels with Volte, it's eels with a turtle. There's two turtles in one. There's six sharks in another. The six sharks. Is it shit six? I thought it was nine. I thought I wrote down nine sharks, 3x3. I got that wrong.
There's every chance that I got it wrong as well, Rob. But there's one with a shit ton of sharks. I thought it was 2x3 sharks.
You could be right. 2x3 sharks, but it's a load of sharks is the point. So these have got to be one of the pick of the tournaments, right? New Eidneth is strong. If you include an Eidolon, your army's stronger. If you include a turtle, your army's stronger. It was already super strong. Volte's stronger. Sharks are just so strong. Like, there's three new pieces that they've had into their army that have just made their army better. Different, but better. These have got to be a pick for me. Did anything stand out for you out of those?
Not really. I mean, you've just seen... The lists are exactly what you'd expect to see just in terms of the unit choices. Two of the lists include those cheap Aether Wings, which are fantastic. Everything's flying, everything's fast. The Aether Wings can either screen or you can use them early to cap rather than exposing your important units. But yeah, I think the layering of what they got in that book, even though they look like subtle changes, like Void Chill Darkness on Volte, making him -1 to hit, amazing. The buffs to the Leviadon and how he force multiplies, and the fact that you can make him ancient with the mount trait, so he's -1, he ignores -1 rend. Like, I just think for an elven faction that's all fast and lithe and, you know, snipey and attacky, they're incredibly resilient now. I think that's the thing that they've got from the new books. And also the fact they don't really need to wait until turn three. I don't think there's too many of the Eidolons in there, but that aspect of the storm with the +1 to wound bubble, I suppose it's very thematic, isn't it? They've given them more bubbles and they're an underwater army.
nice
there you go. Narrative bastards.
The only thing that you can't do with this army is submarine, because you're probably going to win most of your games.
the hits just keep coming, Rob, holy shit.
Let's go. It's okay, I've had 3 years to work on the jokes for these guys. Has it changed?
Outside of that, there were two more that we haven't covered, Rob. There was a really interesting a couple of nice Lumineth lists.
Of course, yes.
Yemetrica. There's one with Teclis and an Alarith Temple. So I think it's 30 Stoneguard, Teclis, and a big cow. That will be solid. That'll be horrible, in fact, because I've played against that Alarith Temple. Ignoring rend, -1 or -2 to hit, ethereal, 5+ after damage save. It's not got much board presence, and it does rely on Teclis winning in the late game and flying around, but that is solid as rock, which is thematically correct, isn't it? My pick to do really well, actually, is the other Lumineth list, which is a Sire list with no Teclis, 50 Wardens and 40 Sentinels and a big cow. With Twin Stones, the Double Tap, Aether Quartz, Trickery, loads of options, Cathalar. Yeah, it's horrible. That's
in the Aurelian Legion as well. So, it's a strong book. But it is a book you do have to play. But once you get to play it, it's... Mm. Very good. Like, it's very, very good. The Lumineth book is, like, very exciting and interesting that so I would say one of its weaknesses is that like its depth or width of the book, like, but now we know that there's going to be an additional like half of that book. We're going to see like Lumineth are going to be right up there in my opinion, and because they've got so many overlapping buffs, and also they're an army that's really hard to understand if you don't play it. Picking out their synergies, like making understand like where how you can go wrong, I think is yeah, I love that one. It's a great one. It's a great one. Okay, so like head, heart, and wild card. I think that's where we're at now, right?
Well, I know you don't really want to talk about that. We can probably cover it super quickly, but we have missed out one faction that's got two armies. Yeah, yeah, you're going to laugh because we Fire Slayers.
Oh, for God's sakes. Yeah, I did. Sorry.
apologies. They're both Heimdall. They both have the Lords of the Lodge Battalion. They both have 40 Hearthguard Berserkers. One of them's got two gun haulers. I did watch somebody play, I think it was your coverage of CanCon. We saw somebody running Fire Slayers with two gun haulers, which I really liked, actually. Mm-hmm. Bouncing around.
I didn't even write them down in my notes. Like,
you're a horrible person. Well, I didn't write down Silver. I didn't write down Sylvaneth because they're fucking awful, and I love
them.
They're
also not there.
No, yeah, and they're not the there. I think maybe Volzen Riot in the chat might be one of the two Fire Slayers players.
It was an accident, I promise. I did it at 1 a.m. last night, so that's why that I work hard. I would say that it's going to be interesting watching this 40 Hearthguard Berserker go into the Blight Kings. But let me just say that both players deserve each other. That's all I can say. Yeah.
What will be less interesting is what I heard the other day, which is the 40 Hearthguard Berserkers with broad axes went into a unit of six unrendable eels, and they activated twice and killed one eel.
I really like it when a shark flies over and goes, movement four, and also you can't do anything now. No piloting for you. And they're like, sweet. But if anything, no, there's no positives to the shark net. There's no positives, but maybe Fire Slayers not being there is my only joy.
Okay, we should qualify that because people do love the army and they love the models and stuff. And it's just the fact that for a long time you face Fire Slayers and they're not a particularly dynamic army to play against, and you just, if you're a combat army and you can't pick out the heroes and they hide behind their firewall, they just fucking walk through you. And maybe that's where a little bit of the negativity around the Fire Slayers comes from, right, Rob? We're not kind of like, we don't just hate on the ginger.
No, they're super strong. Like, they're also like a really viable army in the game. Like, yeah. that's a really point. And the way that they play is fairly obnoxious, but like in a good way for them. They're like, they're just ginger and naked. They're like, hit me. And then you hit them and they're like, ha, 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 I win. Like, that's how they work, right?
But I hit you twice. Yeah, it's pretty great. There's nothing else in the game that goes first and goes twice anymore, is there? You know, they nerfed Gristlegore. They kind of, you know, took some of the toys off Slaanesh, but it's those ginger muscle boys. Like, they still have all
And they do have some weaknesses. But then the interesting part about their weakness, which is movement, is the fact that because of the go twice is their base move four, but their piling's 3 inches, so you're getting a free, like, you can basically get 6 inches of movement out of that phase, and it can be in your opponent's phase and your phase, and their output's phenomenal and their defense is phenomenal, but really I don't really know how you change that book up overly, because it's not ultra dynamic. It's weird seeing more Lumineth models and not seeing more Fire Slayer stuff to kind of like make that book be able to play in some like different ways. Yeah, and as Korn has pointed out, Kolaru's playing Fire Slayers 100% anti-fun. You just cannot win. Yeah, and like, you know, even Big War or Iron Jaws or some of these armies that want to fight, like, they're the best fighting faction in the game, Fire Slayers. Like, and other fighting factions just like, oh, sad face. So that's where that comes from. So Owen makes a good point. But yeah, I hear you. So head, heart, and hands also look awful. that's just a personal feeling. I'm just going to say it, personal.
Yeah, it's funny, like, that's the last thing when you play Fire Slayers, it's like, which one of these little obnoxious bastards is it that's doing the -1 to wound to me then? Oh, it's the one that's got the earring, which is different to the other guy with the mohawk, and it's just like, you know, you can't really pick out who's doing what to you, but it's all bad. I think that's where it comes from. That's kind of like, there's no, yeah. So yes, you're right. We were going to do head, heart, and wild card or something.
Head, heart, and wild card, yeah. So
I've talked enough. What's your What should we do? What do you want to start with? The wild card, the head, or the heart? It's your show, brother.
I'm gonna go for heart.
Okay.
Straight off, because you guys know me. I'm emotive as a person, and it's gonna have to be triple Tyrant Guard. Like, it has to be. Like, I'm really in for Centaurs as well. I want you to know this was actually a real hard pick for me. I was really in for Centaurs. I thought it was fun. And actually, do you know what? I don't care. Sepaternal Cleansing Phalanx. I was in for that too. These all were vying for the options in my heart. So I thought that was fun. Five Chariots, that was in there for me. But I think ultimately it's the Ogre Triple Tyrant Guard list, because I love what it does. Because the Iron Guts can take the wounds for the three tyrants. So he's got artifacts for days. Yeah, he's got these three tyrants that can just be. I wish they did more damage. They don't do tons, but if they did more, and I love the idea that it's just these three kings running forward, and they're going to fight you. And then obviously there's 40 Hurker Berserkers going to kill them. But I'm there for it.
It's quite good as well, because essentially he's got the list in total is I'll just run it off quickly. Blood Gullet Ogres. He has three tyrants. They all have the Fate Seeker big name. He then has a Slaughter Master and a Butcher, and then eight Iron Guts, four Iron Guts, four Iron Guts. So the tyrants can each just hit the units of Iron Guts, and then the whole army's battle shock immune for the rest of the battle, right? Because he gets to do that D3 mortals, and then just push up. And it gives him the opportunity to take an artifact which is called the Wizard Flesh Apron, which just is quite an evocative name, isn't it, Rob? I quite like the sound of that.
Yeah,
an apron really made out of wizard flesh.
So yeah, that's my heart. That's my heart pick. What's your heart pick?
And that player is Ryan Parker, by the way. Heart pick, I've got two. I was going to go for the Khorne, the five Bloodthirsters, but I thought that we might fall out a little bit. But that army is, let me just make sure that I give that person the props they deserve. Yes, this is Adam Norris. He has Baleful Lords, so they can all run and charge. He's got two Smash Boys, two Boom Boys, two Insensate Rage, two Unfettered Fury, a Wrath of Khorne, a Blood Secretor with the Banner of Blood, so a wholly within 12-inch bubble of reroll charges, which is good. And then he's still got room for 30 Bloodletters, 10 Reavers, 10 Reavers, and a CP. So, throw it all forward, blow stuff up, make Blood Tithe, summon, win the game, easy life. I like that. I can't believe I'm doing it, Rob. My heart pick, the thing that stole it, fucking Caradhron Overlords. I don't know who I am anymore. 2021.
Why? Because
it's awesome. It's awesome. His name is Tim McDivitt, and it's effectively an Endron Master with a dirigible suit who's got the Grudge Hammer, which is cool. It does extra plus one to hit and extra damage. A Navigator, Gotrek. Maybe I'm just channeling my Darren Watson here, Rob. I don't know. But he's got Gotrek, and then he's got 3x3 Sky Wardens and 5x3 Endron Riggers and 3 Gun Haulers. So he hasn't got the big obnoxious boats. He's playing Barak Thring, so he gets to choose units at the start of the game, and you get reroll ones to hit against them. Everything that's in combat, when it dies, on a 4-up, it gets to fight every model. So those Athematic Saws, they do a lot of work, right?
Yeah.
And then once per game, I like this, basically, once per game, he can pick anything, but it's going to be Gotrek, and it gives him exploding sixes. So sixes explode into D6 mortal wounds, and sixes explode into two hits. Wow. So line it all up, pop it off at the right time, and Gotrek goes supersonic. So, because he's got the Dwarden keyword, he could be chosen because he gets the Barak Thring, so he can be chosen for that ability to pop off. So, and the Gun Haulers can bounce around taking Riggers with them. He's got the Skyhook, so their Riggers are plus one to charge, so he obviously just wants to get stuff in combat and blow it all up, which is a very
I like the cinematic view in my head. It's basically some boats land, right, and then Gotrek turns around and is like, "Get in the sky, lads, I'll handle them," and they literally fly off, and it's one man with an axe, and then just some boats flying around like carpet bombing. It's great. No, yeah, I can completely understand that. Whose list is that again?
This is a chap called, his name is Tim McDivitt, but he's put his name down. I like it. I like the list even more. T McD. So that's
T McD.
T McD, rocking the Barak Thring.
Team of D. My boy. Definitely was in an 80s rap band at some point. Okay, so those are our hearts, our heads. So this is something that we think is going to take the event out. And I mean, you can't not look at like Fangs of Sotek or Eidneth. I think they're in there as well. They're very, very scary. But I'm going to throw it out. I'll go first, if you don't mind. I'm going to throw it out to the Knights of the Empty Throne, Dave Kerr list with Plague Touch and the Triple Sorcerer. I think it's a great player, great list, is the combination there. Not that there isn't other great ones. There was some... I was actually quite in for the Blistikin Royal Mordant Flesh Eater Courts list, actually. I thought that there was some play there. Some outside pick, some Nine Spirit Hosts. I mean, Uruk War Clans are also always decent, and there's something in there. There's a Change Host, and we know how good that is. There's an Archeon in Hosts, we know how good that is. There's loads of really good things to pick from. The Lumineth, super strong as well. And I mean, even the Hallahart Frosty list is terrifying. The only thing I can think is why I like that so much at the minute, maybe it's because I've been conversing about it a lot right now, is I do like the fact that it's a list that does what it wants to do, and if you do what you want to do, which is fight, very much like the conversation we were just having about Fire Slayers, they hit you, they suffer. And that's the only advantage. It's a great advantage, I think. And then there's all the other tech that's in there as well. You've got a rerollable save army, basically. You've got three spells coming out from the book. I like that list. Should I read it out in
I've got it in front of me, Rob, if you want. I can just rattle through it.
Yeah, sure.
It's Knights of the Empty Throne, Varangrad. He's gone for the six. You sometimes see the nine. They've got the 6-inch pylon and you can't retreat from them. Then he's got a Chaos Lord with the Plate of Perfect Protection. So I think that's the ignores minus one rend. Two Chaos Sorcerer Lords, 20 Marauders, five Warriors, two Nines of Untamed Beasts. So he's got a nice bit of alpha protection. And six Flamers of Tzeentch and a War Shrine. Six Flamers is a little spicy pick, eh?
Well, I think one of the problems that you might have, like, is actually going through hordes, like actual hordes. The doubling up. So the Untamed Beasts and the Flamers is all about controlling what's happening in the game. Like you said, like those two units of nine Untamed Beasts, which I've run a lot, are brilliant. They're just like, I control the board space turn one. They can, like, if your opponent gives you the turn, even though it's like a low drop army, so I think it's like a four drop. Your opponent gives you the turn, you're like, cool, like, I'll go grab objectives with these two like trash units I don't care about, and then position myself somewhere else with some threats, and you have to deal with them before you can deal with anything else. So you can trade off really well, which I love. And then the Flamers are also being brought in to deal with other problems. Skinks, hordes of skinks are a massive issue, obviously. And then you've got massive range on these guys, 27 inches. And hordes of skinks are perfect because you don't need the rerolls or anything else, or even the rend. The Flamers should be able to go through like a bunch of stuff in those kind of like units, and then everything else works really well into everything else, I think. You know, all the other prevalent threats, I'm not sure how you'd necessarily deal with Archeon, because he's gonna put the Varangard into the sword, and I think maybe the Blight Kings will be an issue as well, but the Blight Kings are just going to do so many attacks against you. You get those reroll hits, you're only going to get Ren 1 on the Blight Kings at best.
They're going to kill themselves probably, aren't they?
They're going to do so much damage to themselves that, like, and I think it's a great list. I really do. Like,
looking at it, all thumbs 1, 2, 3 in the chat says, do they only suffer in melee? Yes, they do. Or do they take damage from shooting them? No, they don't take the damage from shooting them, but the aura of Nurgle is minus one to hit in shooting. So all the small characters are minus two to hit in shooting. So they have that shooting protection. And you're right, Rob, they've got so many threats, like even 20 Marauders. You put the buffs on them turn one and then YOLO them with Mask of Darkness and they auto charge. Like 20 Marauders with plus one save, reroll wounds is pretty scary. I agree with you there. My pick is the Sire Lumineth Realm Lords list. I think that you may see, it's been such a push and pull with tech lists. First of all, it was like, oh, every list has to take tech lists. And then it was like, no, don't take tech lists. And then it was like, yeah, okay, we're going to take tech lists. And now I think it's settled on maybe don't take tech lists. That was a little journey we went on together then, wasn't it, Rob? Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. Because I still think tech lists is... I still don't think that conversation is over. I still just think that there's there's lots of options. I think Teclis is so strong.
My choice is Gary Den Otter. This is Lumineth. It's Sire. So he has a Cathalar with the Silver Wand, which is an extra spell and Protection of Hish. So a smaller bubble, but still a bubble. So there's a mini Teclis in there. Avalonor, the Stoneheart King, a great pick. Amazing. Minus one hit bubble. The Stone Mage there with Voice of the Mountain. So the Stone Mage makes Avalonor always top bracket if they're in the right ranges from each other. So it's getting that sweet minus one. And then 30 Wardens, 10 Wardens, 10 Wardens, 20 Sentinels, 10 Sentinels, 10 Sentinels. In the Orlan Legion with a CP and the Twin Stones. So he's got like the magical casting ability and buffing of like a Teclis or a Zytrek list by bringing in the Twin Stones. He's got the double tap Aether Quartz from the Sire. He's got threats, range, you know, 40 Sentinels is pretty, you know, scary and the way he split them up. His spell choices are excellent. Doubling up on Total Eclipse, doubling up on Lambent Light, and he's got Ethereal in there as well. And yeah, even buying the CP, because it's the only build which is quite CP heavy, because you've got to keep spending it to double tap on the Aether Quartz. So yeah, I do like seeing these Lumineth lists that have a lot of bodies. I think
that as someone who's just put 120 proxy Lumineth bodies together, I would agree with you. Like, I actually think that the bodies conversation is really valuable because they're just so good. I like that Aurelian Legion battalion. Oh my god, it's just flawless. Like, and then you can just bury everything in there, or you can go. And I love the inclusion of Avalonor as well. Like with the Stone Mage, because you come up again, you go into any hero missions, you're like, cool, like. This guy slaps.
Yeah, he's just like gonna fucking stand there, beat his chest, and go, "Come on, then, lads! I'm gonna get you with my laser eye while you come towards me."
Really, really good. And I think actually, when we do get back to games, we're gonna see like even like mid tables; those guys are gonna tear up people that are using the Goat Mountain Men. So yeah, that's a great pick. It's a great pick. Completely vibe on that. So, what would you say is your wild card pick?
Wild card pick, something I've never seen before, and I actually think that this could do quite well, is one of the Ossiarch Bone Reapers lists. This is a gentleman called... this is Michael Thompson. First time I've ever seen anyone not take a Legion. So he's got no sub-faction, so no Mortis Praetorians, no Petrifex. He's got a Liege Cavalos to take an Immortal Ruler, which is going to give it a 5-up death save rather than a 6-up. So that's a nice. And then Helm of the Ordained is a sick pick. I think if you've taken a battalion in Bone Reapers and you're running a Liege, then have a look at the Helm, because it's effectively saving you so much RDP, because it's a big bubble, wholly within 12, just plus one to hit. So if you're running Crawlers, they negate Lookout Sir. If you're running Skeletons, then it gives them hit on twos. It's just solid. So yeah, he's got a Liege Cavalos, he has a Mortis and Bone Shaper, and then he has Arcan the Black. So Arcan's obviously got access to the whole spell lore. And then he's eschewed the normal thing of taking a couple of catapults and some death riders. He's just gone skelly heavy. So he's got a 30 of Mortec, a 20, and a 10. And then he has two harvesters, a purple sun and a shrieker. So yeah. He's 1950, which is an odd one, because with 50 points, he could get another 10 Mortec Guard into that 30 block and turn it into a 40, which is super obnoxious. But it's got a kind of stealthy amount of regen, this one, Rob, because you've got three wounds coming back from the Shaper. You've got three wounds into, I believe it's three units from Arcan. And then the Harvesters have that in-game or that combat. I call it like combat phase healing, because I've seen people...
Like Necrons, really.
Yeah, you're taking the... Yeah, precisely, Rob. You're taking the casualties from near the Harvester and then growing them. So I've seen that swarmy Legions of Nagash-style play, you know, like you'd see Tony Moore playing, where he's the regen is what's winning him the game by creeping onto objectives and zoning the board out. And
things into combat. Like, there's like... I don't know, you can't actually technically drag things in, but you could, like... You can block stuff in and do other stuff. I love this list. Like I say, I wrote this down, and I think that there's loads of options in there as well. Like, it's nice seeing the Harvester list as well. Like, it's I can completely understand putting Crawlers in your list. They solve loads and loads of problems. They really do. But ultimately, it's 400 points you keep at the back of the board, which isn't bad. It isn't bad. It wins you games. Like, those things are brilliant. Like, you know, however, like, when you do put everything in this that can just dash forward, and then you've also got, when you also do this list, he's also got some pretty good magic defense and magic dominance, which can be a problem for Mortek. Mortal Wounds coming into them is an issue for them, ultimately. I'm with you. Like, I completely vibe on this list. Like, I think it's going to be a thing, right?
Yeah, and Arcan actually slaps with plus one to hit. So with the Bone Tide Shrieker out on the board, like, it turns those fours into threes, which really helps. And he's got a 16-inch flying move. He can spam out some arcane bolts if he needs to pick some heroes off. It's got some... It looks very simple. You put that down on the board and somebody would be like, sweet, kill the harvesters, kill the heroes, win. But it's not as easy as you think. And if you do that over three or four turns and leave 60 Mortek on the board, those Mortek have every chance of winning the missions. So, yeah. I like that list, Michael. I'm looking out to see how well that does. So, what about yourself?
Outside pick, again, so many options. I want to like the Blistikin Royal Mordants outside pick. I think I'm going to go for outside pick the Lurid Haste Seneschalist with the two keepers and the two Bladebringer Chariots. Like, it, as an outside pick, like, it's got control of the combat phase, which is going to be quite important. It does come unstuck against certain armies, which is always true, right? Let me just get the list up for everyone here.
Have heard as well. I think it's James Lynch.
Lynch, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard actually that he is a badass painter as well. Actually, you know what? I might have seen this army on Twitter. It's got like these amazing golden kind of tiled yellowy bases. Yeah, it'll be beautiful as well as potentially powerful, Rob. So that's a nice pick there, sir.
Thank you, sir.
I think he's a painter of note.
I also enjoy the inclusion of Mesmerizing Mirror. So just below is Keeper's Secrets with the Fervorous Anticipation, the Oil of Exaltation, and the Progeny of Damnation spell. He's then got another Keeper of Secrets again with the Hand, who's the General with the Progeny of Damnation, and he's got the Bladebringer Herald on Exalted Chariot, Bladebringer Herald on Exalted Chariot, and then he's got the Mask of Sinesh, which is a great little pick. I love that. And he's got the Exalted Hero of Chaos, which is 90 points, and is the got the Rodimus Rule, so for those CP. Then he's got Chaos Marauders, 2 lots of 10 Demonettes in Supreme Cyberites, and he's got the Mesmerizing Mirror, but I love the Mirror. Because he's just going to take out throw the mirror forward, then throw everything else in. And what's great about that is you're dealing with. I understand taking a keeper or two keepers. What I like about this is it's all four. Everything's just going to go forward. The mask is going to control that. You kind of ignore the marauders and the demonettes at the back, right? You're not a part of that game. And then you throw the mirror forward as well, and there's just mortal wounds everywhere. There's mortal wounds, there's fighting last. And then, depending on how the game goes, you're starting to drop bodies at the back of the board. And then, you know, you kind of reclaim in. So it depends how hard it hits and what it plays against. But I do think it's pretty sweet. I also like all of that concentrated power in those four pieces. It's one of the reasons that, like, Stonehorns do so well or Ghoul Kings on Terrorgeist, because the Keeper's not even got a massive base.
No, you're right. So, it's like 100 mil round, isn't it? It can get places, definitely.
It can get places. So you can kind of tag the corner of, like, a unit of, let's say, Blight Kings, like, with two of them. Like, and not really take as much damage back as you would, like, if you had a big Maw Crusher base. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. I think, like, number one, I know it's going to look pretty, but number two, I just think I'd like to see it play. I think I'm very, very personally interested in Celeste armies right now. So I think maybe that's what, again, is.
It also does sound like, when you read all those things off it, they do sound like the song names for a sort of prog sort of proto band from the 70s, you know, Feverish Anticipation,
Progeny of Damnation, Station. Track 3,
Oil of Exaltation's coming up, you know. flip that vinyl over, it's coming up, track 1, side 2. It's going to be the Let's sexiest go. Fucking prog rock you've ever heard.
Can I tell you a quick story? I was DJing several years ago, rock and roll night. I was DJing, but I did it for a corporate affair. They hired me, so you had everything from, like, the CEO all the way down to, like, the, like, 18, 19-year-old receptionists, right? So, like, there was all, like, all sorts. But I was playing rock and roll.
A wide gamut.
So that's why I got hired for these corporate events, because you would DJ, like, rock and roll tunes and Motown, and everyone would love them generally. But the girls were coming up and asking for, like, current pop trends, yeah? Mm-hmm. But my favorite bit was I banged a track on, yeah? And some old boy walked up. He went, I love this track. Have you got the B-side? And I'm staring at my digital program with my laptop plugged in. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, mate.
Not on the
I was like, the B-side? I was like, what? Oh, dear God. The next girl was like, got Shakira? Anyway.
Well, hey, Bob, as an aside, I played at a wedding once, right, in my youth when I was a DJ. Yeah. And they had a particularly delicious food buffet, right? So midway through the set, me and my mate Matt, who were playing, I went off to get some food, filled it up with so much food, came back, and I was so enamored with the spread, I put the plate down and I didn't realize I'd put it down on the amp, which then I cut out all the extraction of the heat, and I shorted the amp and cut out all the music, and that was the end of the wedding music. So, yeah, no first dance, nothing like that. But,
No first dance.
Outrageous.
Oh my God, you didn't belt out a tune? You didn't just try like just sing one?
That's I haven't bad. Got it in me. Anyway,
I wouldn't do that either. I just back up. Yeah. I just back up like, you're fucked. All right, well, listen, obviously we'll be talking about the results on Monday from the event. It looks like it's going to be a great event, loads of amazing lists. I think there's going to be some really great stories from some of these games as well. Really great stories. So I'm jealous. Jealous. Furiously jealous. But yeah. You got any other thoughts about the event coming up?
Jealousy. Excitement for those guys, and really pleased that they've got a government that can pull their finger out and sort themselves out. I think TTS is great. I'm having a wicked time over on TTS, but then, you know, when you think about, you know, playing with your pals at an event and all meeting up and looking at painted models, and yes, not too long to go now, but I'm excited for them and a little bit jealous. That's my overriding feeling. But it's also really nice to see such a wide variety of armies, right? I think that's been a really good exercise in seeing that when you have a 50-man event, you know, there is no more than five of any one army. So everyone's going to have a really, you know, even on the top tables, I'd imagine people have a really diverse set of games, which is what we want, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really important as well. And it does kind of like tie into the meta a little bit as well. I think the game at the top end is fairly healthy. There's a lot of like armies that can do well. There's some strengths in there. And really, if you just double the event size, you would end up with more Seraphon, Tzeentch, Lumineth, lists. You would just like more Blight Kings. You just end up with more of them. But ultimately, like, that's still like six or seven kind of across the spread at the top, which is interesting. And that's good. That's good. It's nice seeing that. I think some things obviously could do with like a little bit of a fix up or a move around. Like we said, there's two Seraphon lists which are considered suboptimal non-Fangs lists, and they're still probably right in there with a chance of taking the whole event out. So anyway, Owen, it's been a pleasure as always today.
Yeah, man, I've really enjoyed it as ever. Just a nice chat between a couple of lads talking Warhammer, right?
Couple of bros just loving Warhams. Absolutely. And then don't forget, you guys who are listening, there's a TTS event that Owen's organising on the 5th and 6th of February.
We're getting closer and closer, Rob. 6th and 7th.
Oh my God, one day I'm going to smash it. 6th and 7th. But we're going to be doing the live streaming from that as well. So expect another list event, list kind of review at some point in the future. And also, like, if you guys are hosting events somewhere in the world or you want to, me and Owen love to hear about it. Just get in touch. Like, drop us a message and say hi. Like, we're like really in for that. Like events and what's going on is really my jam. I love playing Warhammer myself, but like, I can't play all the games that I want to play. Like, but I can watch everyone else play most of the games I want to play. So get in touch, please do. And are you still taking signups for the TTS event, Owen?
Yeah, shit, man. I mean, we're at like 84 players, Rob. Might even get a 100-person weekender.
Wow, let's go. I'm excited. Okay, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, so no, there's still sign-ups open. I tell you what I'll do. I'll just, while we're doing it, it'll take me a second. I'll chuck it in the chat if I can. Yeah, there's links to my Discord and to both TTO sign-ups there. I think we've got 54 for the competitive Saturday, which is Hammer Time 7, and we've got 30 people who are playing in Titans of Gur, which is a Gargant-themed narrative fun day. So, there we go. Scriver's going to put them in the show notes. So thanks, Scrivs. Yeah, so if people want to join that, great, and we'll have a fun time and play some Warhammer there too.
Sweet. All right. Well, you guys have been brilliant. Thanks for listening and tuning in today. If you'd like to listen to me more today, the 40K show is on tonight, where we're going to be talking about Death Guard book. I'm only mildly excited. Furiously excited is how excited I am. I actually don't know if I can handle it. And then I'll also be on the Scarred cast. So Scarry's Twitch channel in a couple of hours. I'll tweet out when I'm going live. So if you want to go hang out with me, or I love being a guest, Owen. Being a guest on a show is the best because you ain't got to do shit. Mm-hmm. You just start painting and someone asks you questions and you're like, yeah, whatever. So join me for that. You guys are all brilliant. I'll see you guys soon. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to us.